I am going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to do it in the order that I feel like doing it in. So we're going to start with Group Two, and Lothar is going to report back first of all in terms of Group Two, please.
Okay, thank you. I was still asleep because I
That's a
thought I was
test of
second.
Ida, so you can find the right slides.
Okay. This is our group, and I think we should have slides on what actually came out of our discussions. Right. So the first question was, have we correctly captured the role that IFRS standards play in promoting financial stability? And so we thought, well, firstly, we agree that the IASB is not responsible for creating financial stability. And it's not even the purpose of the IFRS standards to report to regulators because they have direct access much more than what's the purpose here to inform the outside owner and investor. But of course, there's an indirect impact and responsibility in the accounting and reporting numbers. So generally, we agree, except there was a question whether in the mission statement the term fostering financial stability directly as an aim wasn't even going a little bit too far. So, that was just a question whether it's completely correctly captured. And there was this criticism that the frequent change of rules of standards may be actually contributing to financial instability. That was our thoughts to the first subject. Then on the second one, what could we do to develop the role in the future? Well, firstly, it's communication, explain what IFRS is not, like what we alluded to before a little bit. Then I think, like when what's his name, Sven Andreasen presented, he also pointed to the very difficult and time-consuming issue of finding any solutions or agreements in a government body. And I think one could emphasize that with the IFRS organization, there is an international body, at least, you know, having almost a full international reach and getting a further reach, which is able to make decisions, which has established processes, and which therefore is in that sense better suited than maybe many purely government-staffed organizations to act. That's something which one could maybe emphasize. And since there is some contribution to financial stability coming from accounting, I think that's relevant, or we thought that's relevant. But still, improving time to market also of the standards was still considered not good enough in drafting and in implementation, and before the background of the very fast-changing financial markets with fintechs and new products developing all the time. Even though it's better than many other organizations, it's still not optimal for keeping up with financial stability. Also, in terms of communication, I mean, the financial crisis is no longer on top of the public agenda. Therefore, we thought it's not necessarily helpful to push this argument except in specific standards where it applies. And there, one could, like, you know, insurance or IFRS 9, one could maybe include it in the effects analysis to say, okay, there's also some intended positive effect on financial stability. One could maybe also, one should look at non-financial variables to see if that's something one could address as well. In the more specific standards related issues, the feeling was that taking the lessons from the last financial crisis, which of course doesn't have to be exactly the same as the next one, which will be coming, the, let's say, equity was like this is very much focused on, and everybody says the banks have to have higher equity in the balance sheets. But what was probably more important was the liquidity aspect, right? Because, I mean, one of the key factors of the financial crisis was that the short-term financing loop of the, you know, CDOs and products like this broke down. And that's when the system crashed. So as users, or like from a financial stability point of view, I think better information on the liquidity situation of financial institutions could be helpful, which also relates obviously to maturity mismatches. There's no specific recommendation of what should be changed, but those are issues which I think should be looked at. Asset quality, same thing. And then one other element, which is that obviously the regulatory requirements have an impact on the operation and even value of the company. So maybe there should be some rule. It's not always fully clear, you know, risk-weighted assets and regulatory capital and so on. I don't know if that's, I don't think it's fully enough reported and required to be reported in the statements. There could be improvement, which would help financial stability in general. Then what more could we do? To explain the importance of transparency. Well, we agreed that transparency is very important. It's in this context of financial stability, even more important than comparability. And the thing is, one should maybe emphasize that the financial statements are there to reflect the true and current picture of a company to the outside investor, and certainly not cover up negative developments. I mean, that's behind this whole discussion of volatility in the balance sheet and so on. I mean, if a situation in which asset values deteriorate should be accepted because it's considered short-term, it's more a question of the regulator declaring it acceptable for a while because everybody believes things will pick up. I mean, experience as investor or analyst is, I think, very often that companies on an individual basis even try to play down negative developments, even claiming, oh, we're long-term investors, but it doesn't get better. It only ends in disaster at some point. So, maybe regulation should take that role, but not hide anything. And then one important point is transparency is not just putting out everything there is. It's, of course, putting out the information which is relevant in a form which is clearly understandable and depicts a situation truthfully. Okay, and then the last one was what can we do more to overcome concerns? Well, first thing is to acknowledge concerns and not deny them. Then I think it's very important, or we thought it very, very important, to communicate this understanding of the role of volatility, that volatility in P&L and balance sheet does not mean volatility or increasing volatility in the market, but the opposite is intended, and that's very little understood, and maybe that should be pushed and communicated. And then help prepare us, explain the effects. I'm thinking of the insurances here, because the insurance company would say, well, nothing changes in our underlying business, we're just reporting differently and there's more volatility. Then, of course, you have to explain that everything is still okay. I mean, the whole result of having to explain more is, I think, one of the positive effects. And I don't know, maybe ISB could give some support in that regard. Then also some of the changes in the standards are, as we heard, even driven by stability aspects from the FSB, and like expected credit losses were mentioned, maybe also communicate that more. And then there's one last point, that there's sometimes the impression of many bodies regulating and requiring preparers to adhere to new rules all the time, and wherever possible, I don't know how realistic that is, maybe one should try to prevent that feeling and try to coordinate or at least communicate in that way. Okay, that was all.
Thank you, Lothar. Rather than specific comments or questions of Lothar now, I'm going to suggest that we go through all four and then make any comments or general comments in the main session. So I'm now going to call on Anne, please, to report on Group 4.
All right, thank you. With respect to the first question, have we correctly captured the role of IFRS standards? We started by saying that defining financial stability is really not easy. So there are different points of view or perspectives on what financial stability actually means. Financial stability is different for each type of instrument, but we can also look at financial stability from a macroeconomic perspective, which is different from stability at microeconomic level. Defining instability is usually easier than defining financial stability. So that was our first starting point. Then with respect to do IFRS standards capture or promote financial stability, we thought that more should be considered than transparency, efficiency, and accountability. And we got the example of a paper prepared by the European Central Bank in 2006. And they enumerate in that paper other criteria which should be taken into account to see whether accounting measures really promote financial stability and what indicators can be used to measure or provide an indication of financial stability. Also, EFRAG, as practices in that area, when they have to consider whether a standard is serving the public good, they also use extra criteria on top of the transparency, efficiency, and accountability of standards. Another difficulty we have with transparency is that the definition of transparency changes over time. What has been considered transparent in 2008 was, for example, reporting in compliance with the incurred loss model is no longer considered transparent later on. So the definition of transparency or what is thought of to be transparent also changes over time. And then we also thought that financial stability is in fact a byproduct of standard setting and that people have to understand that standards are often a result of a trade-off of different point of views, different options that could have been taken. And since standard setting is often a trade-off, it is important that the due process, especially on those standards relating to financial institutions, is executed in a very diligent way so that all stakeholders involved really have their say and are heard, so that the standards that come out of the are promulgated by the EISB are really credible standards. Even if perfection can never be reached, it's a real world we're working in. So really important that the due process is followed in a respective way and that those parties that are involved in this financial stability are stimulated if they remain absent from the due process, because we know that a lot of parties that have a stake in some standards often do not contribute in the due process. So we think that then the EISB should really stimulate these people and to get their points of view heard in the due process before it's too late. With the first question, we think that the IFRS Foundation and the EISB are not the sole parties responsible for stability. And there can even be sometimes a conflict if you want to report the economic underlying situation and what regulators want. So there can be conflicts in those perspectives. Financial stability, it's another issue. Financial stability is not only influenced by financial or accounting measures put out there, but also by non-financial elements that could trigger risk and volatility. So we have to look at accounting standards, but we can't ignore the whole spectrum of financial and non-financial communication, because both influence the stability and the volatility in the markets. And then we had also a discussion on the wording used, because it says IFRS standards play in promoting financial stability. Do we really have to promote financial stability, or do we have to consider financial stability in the standard setting process? We thought that the difference is a different meaning in these two words. So, second question, what could we do to develop that role further in the future? The suggestion came up that in the due process, there was kind of stress test for the accounting measures that would result from the standards. So that in the standard setting processes, the different options to present a financial instrument would be taken, in considering these different options, one would think of what in extreme times, how will these accounting measures react, and how will they translate the performance of the company into accounting measures, and make sure that also in extreme times, the accounting measure still presents the underlying economic situation in a fair way, so that the accounting measures don't represent a failing company, whereas in reality, in the short term afterwards, this company would be able to redress. So we must make sure that also in extreme situations, accounting measures report the real underlying economic situation and that they don't trigger a situation of trouble. What could be done to develop the role further? Well, explaining in the development of the standards, pay attention to the aspect of volatility. So this means that the disclosure part of those standards is quite important, so that people or financial institutions have more guidance on what they have to disclose and how they could relate to the volatility that some of those instruments will cause in their figures later on or at the moment of reporting. So therefore, we see really a link to this item and the disclosure project that the EISB has taken on, and also the link with wider corporate reporting. Another element that some people in our group thought is that the EISB should also link more to the real world and maybe study more the underlying models that are used to create these financial instruments and the underlying models that create the characteristics of the instruments. However, there was a discussion on that item in our group because some people then felt that there was a risk that the standards would become too rules-based if you focus too much on models out there that are the underlying basis to create these financial instruments and linking the standards to these underlying models. Again, what could be done in the future? Well, since we think the EISB and the Foundation are not solely responsible for financial stability, perhaps a more closer relationship could be developed with regulators and bodies responsible for regulating the industries to see that upfront, more simulations can be done on the impacts of these accounting measures together or in cooperation with regulators. Okay, still question two. What could be developed? Well, including this, I've told it already a little bit. In the discussion paper stage, look at these different options of measurement recognition, but with each option that is available to present a financial instrument, also think about the impact of the accounting numbers, do some sensitivity analysis. So the economic impact analysis should really be almost in the research phase when developing these standards. Is there more we could do to explain the importance of transparency? So question three. We thought it would be nice if the foundation, the EISB, would document the role of the foundation and the EISB in the area of stability and transparency, and also say what the purpose of accounting numbers is, but also explain the limitations of accounting numbers so that people really know how they can rely or use these numbers. So maybe it's important in the context of financial instruments and these industries. Another suggestion is make on the website the issues of transparency and stability more visible. It was thought that the current website of the EISB really focuses on a lot of technical elements, which is necessary and important, so that the website at the moment is really fulfilling a role for a technical accounting audience, but maybe less for executives. So if on the website there could be some explanation towards executives as to the impact of certain instruments, accounting numbers, explanation on transparency, and the result for stability, for non-technical accounting people, that maybe would help as well. Point three is in fact related to point two, and it was also the suggestion to add maybe studies on the website that show, that explain the impact of stability, show when there is a lack of stability, and explain the role of accounting numbers and their limitations. Question four, what could we do more to overcome the concerns? Well, it's a little bit, it summarizes what the elements which have been brought up in the former questions. Make sure that the standards which are developed are not responsible for the creation of volatility. So if accounting measures report volatility, that there is also real underlying economic volatility. That's important. When judging the impact, so if the economic consequence analysis, the impact of the accounting measures, try also to use a time slot of 5 years instead of the long term, because in the long term everything will balance, but maybe not in the midterm. And if we have volatility in the midterm, it might also be a problem if it's paper volatility, of course. Think of financial stability as another suggestion. Well, if in the frame of the disclosure project and the materiality project, keep in mind this financial stability concern. And also, and that's the last element, maybe some leaders of companies or people responsible for companies either don't know what transparency really means, or they don't want to be transparent because it serves their own purpose that they don't reveal all the information which they have. So that there is an explanation or information out there, what exactly does transparency mean? If you run a company, what do you have to disclose? What do you have to share with the external stakeholders of the company, so that executives really become aware of what is transparency, because it also relates to the item, the document of materiality. And that's the last item.
Thank you, Anne. Great feedback there, or detailed feedback. So let's go to Roxana. Where are you, Roxana?
Yes, so group number one, I think the first key message on question number one, whether the ISB has captured correctly the role in promoting financial stability. Well, the key message there was actually the accounting standards cannot create the stability. They are rather a supporting tool in that respect, and their role is mainly to explain the results and convey the information to financial investors. We accept the fact that the accounting can affect the value and the financial stability, and the example given was mainly in relation to the pension accounting, which contributed to erosion of defined benefits. And it might that have also contributed to a bit of a short-term vision in the market, but this is only one factor which was probably part of the story. Now the standards are now are more forward-looking. That created a change, and it's something which is helpful for investors and give insights to the management. Now, what can the ISB do to develop that role in the future? I think one of the points discussed was in relation to differences, for example, between the IFRS and US GAAP, and how that would affect the investment decision, and ultimately, if there is any difference in impact on financial stability. And then we talked also about how investor confidence might be undermined in the case where there is a wide range of application. And in that context, probably the term of consistency in application and linked to what is already in the ISB strategy is important. So the ISB shall look to and highlight the good practices, monitor the outcome, and make the link with all the work which is done under the disclosure initiative. Probably, the last bullet was more for the next point regarding the transparency, on which I think we agreed that there are different views on transparency and how much that creates or might lead to volatility. But in the long run, markets will ensure the best allocation of capital. So, moving to the next slide, probably. It was acknowledged that now there is more interconnection between markets than ever in the past. Therefore, transparency, it is very important. Particularly those who are representing investors made the point that in the context in which more volatility of a company creates greater risk and has an impact on the price, it's very important that transparency is there. And nothing is transparent until it's fully explained to the investor. Probably there was also a bit of a nuance, and we talked there about the short-term versus the long-term transparency. In the context, it's probably like introduction of a new standard is more affecting on the short-term than within the long-term. It's a kind of, let's say, a different kind of transparency. And probably the preparers have concerns because they are they fear of not fulfilling the promises they are making to the market. On the other hand, regulators, and in particular prudential regulators, might be cautious with too much transparency. And that was maybe more the case in the past, as it was considered that now even prudential regulators have more tools to intervene. So if in the past there was maybe more tendency for the prudential, well, let's wait with the transparency until a solution is found, probably now the idea is that they are fully equipped so that they can intervene and not to create trouble. Therefore, transparency is probably more widely, or should be more widely accepted. Finally, what more could be done to overcome the concerns? I think probably it's important to explain to think about the different categories of stakeholders, and is explaining transparency role to those differently. So first of all, it's important to understand the concerns of the preparers and also to engage in a dialogue with them to explain the benefits of transparency. On the other hand, also from the investor side, the ISB shall engage in more a dialogue with them, explain the role of judgment in the new standard, making the link with the stress testing and different scenarios, which in any case investors are looking at, and probably also explain what volatility means and the link with the economic growth. So all in all, more open dialogue with the two categories of stakeholders.
Thank you, Roxana. And finally, Group 3, Stephen.
Thank you. So I think generally we agreed with the primary goals that were set out, I think, in the presentation and also the high-level articulation of the mission statement. I think there was a lot of discussion around the fact that stability was only really a byproduct of having the standards, but we did feel Overall, while it wasn't a primary goal, it was a factor that needed to be considered, particularly in the education and explanatory areas around a standard. So I think it was we sort of agreed that to get stability, we had to focus on getting solid foundation, and that there was a complementary role for the standards in making sure they are reliable, credible, transparent, and we did discuss prudence and the role that might play in terms of the particularly with regard to stability. But I think we also looked at the ISB does have a public interest role, and maybe outside of standard setting itself, it does have a role to play, and that may be in the education and the wider corporate reporting area. I think we also felt that possibly there was a need to address the perception on stability, and then in doing so to clarify how the mission statement and also the primary goals contribute to the long-term stability. So it's really a better communication of the role that the IFRS standards are actually playing. I think to move on to the next question, I think with regard to the standards, it was sort of acknowledged the impact that stability has, but to better articulate the purpose and the potential impact of the standards as part of the standard-setting process, to be very focused on consistent application to make sure that there is that the standards do provide that solid base in terms of making them consistent, but also I think making them responsive to market developments as well. And I think things like the implementation, the effects analysis and the TRG are starting to move towards ensuring that there is a stable platform. I think we had some concerns maybe that the ISB should not be doing this in a silo and that it needs to be engaging outside, and that would be with outreach with prudential regulators and making that more transparent and engaging early and often. And I think during our group we also had some concerns at the persecution of auditors sometimes by regulators, and one of the issues there was maybe the auditing standards were falling behind some of the accounting standards, and you know we were concerned that things like the expected loss and maybe insurance, that the auditing standards will not be fit for purpose before the actual introduction of the standard, and that there should be a focus in terms of getting more dialogue and also involving, as I say, engaging early and often with them to make sure that the way these standards are implemented are consistent. And then I think the continued engagement in the wider corporate reporting agenda would probably add more to the to the stability role, and I think the MD&A has been a very important, although not necessarily on the agenda at the moment, but it is having more forward-looking information and does add more to stability. And I think the last point was really just communication, and to make sure that the communications that are coming out are very clear on the role that these standards actually play. So I think is there more that could be done? I think obviously there is always usually more that can be done. I think we have, with the current projects in place on disclosure principles and materiality, we have a good place card to put and articulate more comprehensively really what the transparency and its value proposition is in the mission statement. But I just added a point here that I'm actually very... I don't think the group actually discussed this, but I think transparency begins at home, and I think the ISB itself should look inward on transparency in terms of how transparent it really is, not only in what it does and how it communicates with others around these issues, but also... maybe as looking at how transparent its standards are. We had some discussions on the Green Book and how difficult it is sometimes for us to understand what the standards are, because we have to dig very, very deep and through a myriad of different things to find out what the standards are actually saying. So maybe transparency might begin at home. And I think if we move on to four, I think, you know, basically there are a number of things we can do. I mean, better communication. I think we do need to address the perception that about stability and what the standards are actually there to do, and the value proposition that the actual standards create in terms of their ability to be an enabler for stability. I think, as I said, we need to be more transparent. I think the education and training is important, but also engaging with regulators and other standard setters, whether it's the auditing standard setters or it's the evaluation standard setters, is very important so that we get a stable implementation of standards. And I think, as we've probably seen on our agenda, engaging in a wider corporate agenda is very positive on going forward in terms of stability. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Now, I am going to, in following on from last night's topic of speech, I am going to use my unconscious or conscious bias to try to sum up what I have heard from those four presentations. And I think the key message that I have heard, and hopefully Richard and Hans and Sue and others have heard, is the theme of the ISB, which is better communication, has come through loud and clear to me on each of those report backs, in that there may be stuff that the ISB is actually doing, but are we communicating it as well as we could? And I think that question one, as much as anything else, is a prime example, in that the words in the mission statement are fostering financial stability. And some people talked about that we should be considering stability versus promoting it, but we don't talk about promoting it, and yet we are still thinking that that's what it is. So is the ISB communicating, in fact, what that mission statement means? I think then to explain what's come out, people have said, explain what fostering means. I think in essence, although there were some, and I'm going to use the word qualms, about whether or not that mission statement sums up the role, I think I got out of that more or less everyone agrees that the ISB or the standards absolutely have a role in financial stability, however it is explaining what that role is and what we mean by fostering. So that's what really I took out of question one. I think that the comment in almost the last three questions, I think the essence of what comes out of, or what I've taken out of there, is about making sure that, again, we explain what we mean, so clearly articulate the purpose of the standards, what they are, what they're not, and how they have an impact on financial stability. And in order to do that, to make sure that we are open, as Sue whispered to me when somebody commented about liaise with the regulators, we do regularly liaise with the regulators. However, we don't tell people, so we do not communicate about the fact that we do that. So, you know, perhaps that is the clear message to say, yes, we are doing that, because clearly, and from I heard Svein say yesterday, you know, that he sees, or the FSB sees, the financial statements and the financial reporting standards as the base, the structure from which they work. And that came out, I think, a theme of a number, but let's communicate the fact that we are working with them. And I also think that came out loud and clear in different ways from different groups about the last three questions was around using the topics that we are currently working on. And in fact, we've got 1, 2, and 3 as the next three topics on our agenda today, to use those to help to promote and communicate around the role of transparency and the role that transparency plays in terms of stability around the disclosures project, the materiality, and the wider corporate reporting. So I think to me, the feedback has been, although you could say when I first looked at those slides, I went, oh dear, how do I sum that up? But having heard people talk about it, to me, those are the clear essences of what I have heard. So I guess where we go to right now for the next few minutes, and I'm not sure whether Richard, Hunt, Sue would like to make any comments or there are any comments from the floor. I might ask Richard or Hunt or Sue to make a comment first of all.
A lot of comments have been made that we can take on board. What I personally found the highly unsatisfactory situation was in the time that I was chairman of the Financial Crisis Advisory Group, and there was really a standoff between the prudential regulators and the accounting regulators. And the to simplify the whole story, it was the prudential regulators who said, the truth is the economic reality is so awful, don't confront us with it too much. And the accounting regulators said back, well, don't bother us too much with your prudential concerns. We are only there for transparency. Mm-hmm. And Roxanne said rightly, so fortunately now the financial system is in much better shape, better capitalized, and regulatory community has a much better eye for the role of transparency, and the economic reality is no longer so horrible that it that we should have some fake stability in accounting. And from our part, what we have tried to do is to say, yes, we understand, although stability is not our primary concern, we do think that by providing transparency, we have especially preventative role in preventing instability, because our role is to identify risks and allow investors to identify those risks and to act quickly to safeguard their investments. And that in the long run should be promoting financial stability rather than undermining it. So, and I think this reasoning was supported by the group. The standoff has not completely disappeared. There are still instincts on both sides, and probably there will always be a bit of a tension between the regulatory community, the prudential community, and the accounting community. But overall, the situation is much better. We communicate much, much better, and we understand each other much better. And that's why I felt very strongly about putting that financial stability, fostering financial stability, in the mission statement, not as our primary task, but as an outcome, byproduct, somebody said, of what we do. And I really feel strongly, but I think it was basically supported. Just a few takeaways. A possible example of this still existing tension is the stress test for extreme situations of the accounting standards. And there are some who continuously tell me that this is what we should do because we're not sure that the standards are fit for recurrence of a financial crisis, for example. And the underlying message is it will lead to too much volatility. My answer back would be, if we write proper standards, then under the stress test of an extreme situation should show an extreme situation and nothing else, and not some sort of fake stability. So I don't really know what to do with that. But I get the point. Another very good point is the limits of accounting, and that's something that we often also feel uncomfortable with. For example, the huge portfolios of complex financial instruments on the balance sheet of banks. And basically, we indeed rely completely on the internal models of banks for the reporting. I don't think there is too much that we can do here it is something that the IVSC of David Tweedy is trying to grapple with, evaluation experts. I'm not so sure how far they can come. It's something that the auditors definitely need to struggle with and probably are struggling with, and it is something that the regulators have to keep a close eye on. But it might be good that we are a bit more transparent about the fact that, well, you know, this is all mark to model. There is no alternative because historical cost doesn't tell you anything about these instruments, but handle with care. And that's why we have special disclosure requirements for such instruments. So we have to be careful with that. Let me see. Yeah, and then transparency starts at home. I thought it was a very good comment. I think there is a case to be made to. I think better communication is already and will be an effort to give a little bit more structure and transparency to the financial statements. A lot more work needs to be done. In the last decade, we have been filling the gaps in our standards, improving the standards, but there will be a time that we have to do a review of the standards to make them possibly a little bit more transparent. And one of the things that we could do on a cross-cutting basis is to look at all the disclosure requirements, and it's something that will be discussed later today. So these are my my reactions to the very valuable comments that have been made.
Thank you, Hans. Sue, do you want
to? On a slightly different, not covering the specific points that Hans has raised, but I wanted to say thank you because our intention is to write something or put something on our website to explain this using the feedback from here and at the trustees' meeting. And Richard's leading the charge on that, so I don't know what he had in mind, but certainly as I've been working on it with him, my focus would have been on talking about the link between, you know, giving more timely information about risk on an earlier basis so people can respond more quickly. That would have been how I would have come at it. But having listened to what you've all said to us, I'll now think about it quite differently because I think we need to start back a step, which is what do we mean when we say our role is to foster financial stability? What does that mean our role is and isn't? What is it relative to other parties? How do we work with other parties? So it's a much more fulsome approach to the question than I would have given it otherwise because the stuff that was obvious to me is not obvious to everybody else, obviously. So we need to better communicate what exactly it is we're getting at and some of the stuff about transparency. So I think you've given me personally a lot of food for thought in terms of what aspects we need to cover in this communication. So I think it'll be much better as a result, and it gives us a lot of food for thought before we have the discussion with the trustees in May as well. But I did want to reassure you, a few of you said we need to better communicate this. The intention of this session and the trustees' discussion we'll have on the same topic is to build something that we then use to better communicate what our role is when we talk about fostering financial stability. So that's the end product we're aiming for.
Thanks, Sue. Richard, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah. I'll make a comment as a retired prudential regulator, if I may. The phrase that I've highlighted here is nothing is transparent until it's explained, which I think is really powerful. Now, prudential regulators went through, as Hans has said, a phase of saying, if we don't tell anyone anything, then there won't be any problems. They're past that. We were certainly past that. There is clearly a need for market discipline to work better, and that works better if there is information out in the markets, not data, but information. And we have struggled over time to decide what information is. The IFS Foundation is much better at this because they engage with a lot of users. They go through a very full process and they come up with standards. Prudential regulators largely have sat in rooms in Basel and elsewhere trying to guess what investors would like. And then I'm exaggerating. I turn to Zevies. I am exaggerating. It's not quite like that. But there's a certain element of saying, right, this is what we think investors would like. And then we put it out there and investors don't engage. The best example of this is Basel III requires an enormous reconciliation between accounting and regulatory capital. I was responsible for that. It's extremely important. It came up a bit in the sessions yesterday. Users really do need to understand how regulators see capital. It's a major part of financial stability. We got very, very few comments back from users on that. Now, there's a role for us to engage with the prudential regulators to get that better. But I think that's a very important part of this. If we're going to be more transparent, we need to be clear on what the purpose of it is, and users need to understand and use the information.
Thank you, Richard. Now, I haven't really left, well, in fact, we are minus 8 minutes, time for comments from the floor. I'm going to suggest, unless there is anything burning that somebody thinks we have missed out from those report backs or the summary that I did or the comments from the three people here, that we don't have any further comments. However, if we have time later on during the day, we might come back to it. So does anyone have any burning comments that they would like to make? And I really have put the... Oh, somebody has. Who's... Jürgen.
Not a burning comment, though, but maybe one thing that came to my mind in this context is, and many things have been already mentioned, but maybe this whole discussion of transparency, financial stability, could also be seen in the context of the global adoption of IFRS. So, because it's very much linked to this adoption process in different jurisdictions. And what we can observe is there's increasing scrutiny in relation to the long-term impact, economic impact of accounting standards, impact on economic growth, but also financial stability. So I think it's in the best interest of the foundation, and therefore I fully support the closer collaboration with macroprudential authorities already in an early stage, or also the idea of impact assessments. Because personally, I find it extremely unfortunate to be involved in these types of assessments of macroprudential impacts, financial stability impacts, a long time after standard had been published and before it's actually applied, like in the case of IFRS 9, because this could be done already before publication, in my view.
I don't think it can. We will not find banks that are willing to implement IFRS 9 4 years ahead of the others, incur huge costs, and that's the only way to find out ultimately what the real impact is going to be. You can make qualitative estimates of the impact, and that's what we do, and now much better than already under IFRS 9. We have done, a better job in the leases standard. We will do a much better job in insurance, but we cannot possibly, for example, with regards to the insurance implementation of the insurance standard, we cannot possibly make educated guesses about the costs for the insurance industry, except that they will be high. Linda will probably have an estimate for her own company at this point, but that estimate will change over time as they start implementing.
Sophia?
Since prudential regulators were mentioned a few times, I feel compelled to say something. So first thing is that I concur with your comments, Hans, about the past and about how we operate now. I think we understand each other better. And that's good, and we should say to the world that we cooperate. Clearly, your perspective is not primarily about financial stability. It is our perspective, but it is the fact that those two objectives are complementary, that contribute to financial stability. And this is how we should continue to work together, the way we do it, without stepping into each other's turf, but by a subtle collaboration. I think that is important. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. As is that, sorry, I really am going blind.
I'm a little bit scared because we have players that don't play with the same rules. When this instability came out, the group of 20 decided to talk to those professions that are regulated. We were at the kind of people to be blamed. They say because you didn't use proper discipline for the companies, against your clients, the companies. That was unfair, and we in fact decided to change some of our procedures at accountant. But at the end of the day, we are playing in a market where all players are not submitted to the same rules. And clients want us to understand and to be their advisors. But at the end of the day, they decide on what the market organizers, I call them that way, the market organizers, the market players, give us definite, as the final decision tools. The final decision tools are not our work, from our work. Our work is used, but it seemed to me that it's not a fair game between the regulators, the market players, all these financial, marketeers, and the accountant. We should really try to make a more level playing field where all the actors are treated the same way and play around the same rules, which is not the case.
Thank you, Aziz. I think that there is something to, and it comes back to, as much as anything else, better communication and better liaison between the various parties, which is something I think that has come out of this, whether it's within the regulators or whether it's between the standard setters and the regulators, and then better communication out there. It's from, that's not going to solve everything, but that's a good start. Oh, Paul.
Apologies for prolonging this discussion even further. I just wanted to come back on Hans's comments around considering the impacts of standards. And I understand the challenge, and I particularly understand the challenge of doing anything which is precise. But I do think there is a real risk to the board that they will be seen very much in an ivory tower if they don't do sufficient analysis of the impact of the standards that are going to be imposed on preparers, because you can't then weigh up whether the incremental benefit of information to users justifies the cost. So whilst understanding the challenges, I think one has to be careful of not becoming an ivory tower and just producing the best possible standard at all cost.
So the insurance standard will have a very exhaustive effect analysis over 100 pages. I basically cited from some of the benefits of the standard yesterday in my presentation, and it will be done in an even better and more detailed way in the effect analysis. Also, those benefits, I think they are huge, cannot measure them. We will also be very clear that the implementation costs will be very high, probably less than Solvency II, but they will still be high. But we will not will be very clear that every insurer will have to do a complete revamping of its accounting. But we cannot put numbers to it. That is impossible.
But
okay, you two, you can talk over morning tea. And I'm going to say the last words on this subject, please, to Anne.
Just to make sure that I communicated the points of our group in a correct way, because Hans was referring to these stress tests. I think our message was consider the extreme situations, but we never wanted to provide the impression or create the impression that in extreme situations, accounting measures should not reflect underlying volatility. So I didn't, or we didn't want to communicate, well, in extreme situations, do a creative account. No, if it's extreme, it should reflect what's there, but making sure that what's there is reflected, the economic situation is reflected, and yeah, so not to make sure that I communicate correctly.
Thanks, Anne. And I think just simply by the time that we have taken and the comments that have been made, and I think Sue summed it up when she said thank you, because I think the input from the group and obviously from Hans and Sue and Richard, you know, the input from the group is really, really going to help the board in terms of its better communication around this, and I think great useful information for Richard to take to the trustees. So thank you very much for your